Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Second hour, Robbie and Rex show, 102.5 The Game, broadcasting for the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. I'm Joe Rex show, Paul Kuharsky.
It's not that hard, dude. We've known each other for years and years.
Yeah, but I go fast sometimes.
Joe Rexrude.
Ooh.
Here.
That's a new one. I don't think I've ever heard that one. Paul is in for Robbie Stanley. Ian Safar producing. The Robbie and Rex Show is presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We've been talking about the Titans and their interesting policies today a lot. You know, the reaction to that will continue. I do want to get into football this hour with you, PK.
Interesting. I am available for that.
But I don't know. We do have a caller. We have Crop Dustin in Laverne. Crop Dustin, what's up?
What's up, guys? Good morning to you. Hey, I just wanted to comment in on y'all saying that Cam's dad was shooting in people's DMs. I don't know if that's true, but I wouldn't doubt it because I made a comment on Facebook like a year ago when we were like 1-11, or we weren't doing very well as a point. And I think I didn't know at the time, but it ended up being his mom was like dancing in like a box or something. And I just posted something real. I wasn't even that big of a deal. I said something like, oh, we're dancing when we're losing, or is this our losing dance or something like that. And she like went off on this message that was pretty lengthy. So I wouldn't doubt that they might be responding to people on social media, which probably shouldn't be doing that, but that's kind of their decision. So, but I'm not saying they're good or bad people. I was just letting you know that that did happen. So there might be some truth to that whole DM thing. So y'all have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you.
They got to stop that. He's got to stop that.
Yeah, that we're getting other texts, too, that show, like, DMs and stuff. Absolutely. Like, intervention. And this is another thing, by the way. You know, all this stuff, media stuff, whatever, like Cam Ward doesn't need to worry about. Here's another thing that Cam Ward doesn't need to worry about, right? It's just like, you know.
Mom and dad.
You got a big job. This is a hard job. You got a huge, I'm sorry. Sorry, PK.
A huge
opening game that, like, to me, winning must happen. Losing,
it's a huge
the negativity. We think the negativity is bad now. My goodness, lose that first game.
You can't
make this kid deal with this crap. Like, if you are, and this is, I think, this goes beyond them. I mean, this is a problem. You know, we've talked about this before in different ways on this show, but like parents, social media, getting involved with people, it's like, it's a rabbit hole that way too many people go down. And I get it. Like, I mean, I think we've probably all been there to a point where you get with the Twitter trolls and last night you really dealt with some trolls on this whole thing.
I spent about an hour responding to a lot of people.
But that's some like good, some that's bad. Like people coming at you in an open forum. If you're going out of your way to DM people, if you're going out of your way to like look people up and stuff and try to like, dude, reevaluate your life. Have a great, especially if you're a parent of an NFL player, you got a great life. Like, focus on the things that matter.
Sit back, watch them.
People are going to criticize. And if your son doesn't play well, it's going to double and triple and quadruple. And that's life,
and
man.
Listening to that can kill you. I understand
that.
Nobody wants to listen to that about their kids. So you've got to be disciplined and avoid it. Avoid it.
You got to find something else to do.
Yes. And listen, I'm not saying this is the same thing at all, but parents can really, I mean, this is obvious, be super influential. Marcus Mariota was hurt by the coddling of his mom. It had an impact on his career. And you'd hate for Cam Ward to the defensiveness of his parents, if that's an issue, to have a bearing on his career. Nip it in the bud. And this is something that Saleh and Daboll should be talking to him about if, in fact, it's at play. And they should be aware of it. Their security should have a full handle on this if it's happening. If they don't, they're not doing their job.
No, I mean, like, seriously. And again, this all comes together with this stupid thing that they just did. And you just, like, you really hope this has nothing to do with, like, him and him being Cam's dad saying something. I mean, it's like, but people are claiming that he's threatened them and their kids. I mean, again, this is, people have receipts, people have screenshots, all that stuff. There's a limitation to that. If I'm the Titans, I'm taking this very seriously and making sure, you know, it's like, let's find out. Yeah, let's
if it's a thing, we're addressing it.
It's like a doctor, like, let's rule out the real bad stuff. Yeah, Titans should be on this, because that's ridiculous.
I like that.
That's utterly ridiculous. I mean, apparently, you know,
Joe's getting him in a gown. Tie this in the back. We're gonna eliminate all the really bad stuff.
We're gonna
You're using the whole fist, Doc.
We're gonna try to eliminate Gout. Ian's like, thank you, Paul. Thank you for that, Paul. We'll say that.
Dude,
one.
Pair that with the Fletch. It's straight out of Fletch.
yeah, like, that's, man. Dennis says, I recommend parents, players not even read social media, let alone respond to it. Yeah, it's like, I can't even.
It's a hard thing to do. You have to structure your, you have to have a plan. Like, you know.
Yeah, like, you know, even like, I think, like, well, like Levis's parents, for example, you know, sometimes you talk to people in the course of writing stories or whatever. So, you know, even at times I even felt like there was a little bit of rabbit ears of, like, but that's media. Like, what media are saying? I would even say limit that.
But
social,
that's one
media
thing. Yeah.
Okay, media people are like, yeah, you know, we have our names out there. We're actual people in the world. We're accountable. Social media is more accessible now.
Yeah.
Or bots. I mean, like, it's just, don't do it. Yeah, it's, so again, this is kind of a tangent we're going on, but a lot of people are saying this stuff, and I have no idea. I'm not saying it's related to this stupid policy crap they just did.
But it's happening on any level, whether it's related to this or not, it's a concern that should be addressed.
Yes, it is. Let me see if I can segue from that.
Good.
What's your biggest concern that needs to be addressed with the Tennessee Titans football team before they play a game?
Well, you know, the offensive line depth is a real, real issue. That's where I go.
Deculus is out.
Deculus is out, and he's replaced by a guy who committed 4 penalties in the course of 5 minutes.
And yet, I am confident
and
saying
everyone's
it's an upgrade.
Excited. Yeah, it is an upgrade. I mean, somebody said, you know, how could this? They're signing this guy. How is this a good thing when they're looking at this James Hudson thing? And my immediate response was, have you seen Deculus? You know, we're talking incremental improvement from terrible. And obviously, James Hudson played for Brasillo and for Dable in New York with the Giants. But, you know, Crenshaw Dixon and James Hudson, if they're called on, hold your breath, you know. And how often has that third offensive tackle been necessary? Pray for the health of Dan Moore and J.C. Latham. But they need 17 games out of those two guys because the alternatives are seemingly ugly.
I feel like BCD has a chance to maybe turn into a decent player. I mean, I think there's something there.
No, I mean, in this day and age, you have to have a guy like that, and you have to develop a guy like that. I think they think physically that he is ready. I think the question is he ready for it? Is he ready for the game action? And you're not going to know until he's out there. But, you know, Borgo said yesterday, it's a tough spot, but I feel good. I think Crenshaw Dixon, talking to him specifically, he's done a really good job just developing here in the past year. And then Hudson's been a third tackle, started games before in this league. I mean, that's the qualification for a third tackle. You played games in the league. Nobody ever says he's played good games in the league. He's played games in the league.
But that's also where you need to have the context of this league. The Titans have obviously been especially bad, but there's just a shortage. There's a shortage of good offensive linemen. There's a shortage of tackles.
Daly and Dillard played games in the league.
Right.
It's not a qualifier.
NPF.
Played games in the league. Just got cut by Washington.
Yeah, and I haven't seen if he's gotten picked up on a practice squad.
He will, probably.
He probably will. The third tackle, you know, the Titans, probably one of the underrated John Robinson moves. We've talked about it a couple weeks ago, like the, you know, the Dennis Kelly move. Yeah, like that.
But also, I mean, that feels like a generation ago. How many teams have a Dennis Kelly?
That's what I'm saying. Like that at that time.
Dennis Kelly started.
It was like, oh, yeah, Dennis Kelly, like a third tackle, put him in there. I bet you most teams in the league did not have a guy that good at that time. And I think it's gotten harder and worse.
Now. And if you have a Dennis Kelly, he's probably starting for you now. He's not a third tackle. He's a second tackle.
Absolutely.
Which he was here for, you know, a while.
Yeah. Texter says, is Jack Conklin not really being considered by the Titans, or does he not want to come back here? I think with Conklin, I'm guessing – I'd be surprised if Conklin is coming back.
Or Decker.
To be
for a third.
For a couple mil.
For a third spot.
Yeah, like I feel like, you know, Conklin, if he can get healthy and a team can look at him like, okay, you might be a star for us. How about 10 mil? Then I can see it. But I don't think Conklin's coming back right now to just.
Maybe six or eight. But
I
think more.
A chance to start or you can retire.
And Decker's still out there too, right? I think those guys are more like.
And I think somebody, and I think Decker's washed.
Somebody big goes down, 5 weeks into the season. Those guys stay in shape. No, they don't have a third tackle. Are playoff contenders, have them in and say, all right, come in and start for us.
All right, we come back. Yeah, you have gone way too far in ripping a particular member of the Titans organization, and I'm going to call you to task for it. Robbie and Rex are 1-2-5 the game. Today, the Nashville Sounds take on Louisville at First Horizon Park. First pitch, 6:35 p.m. Catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Social Cantina. Louisville, by the way, is the AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. And some Louisville Cardinals fans will be around this weekend, too, for a little Ole Miss Louisville. I'm covering that game.
When is that game?
That's Sunday night. Little national treatment for little Nissan Stadium
College
football.
Nissan Stadium on display, the farewell tour.
That's right. So that actually is a sneaky, obviously Ole Miss and Louisville fans are excited, but it's a sneaky good game. Jeff Brohm has got himself a quarterback transfer from Ohio State. There's some excitement there. And Jeff Brohm can do things with talented quarterbacks, so I'm excited about that.
The Nissan Stadium thing is kind of weird. Because they are trying to make it like a sentimental thing. Like they're advertising like the last opening day, the final opening day. And I understand there's sentiment tied to the building, certainly. But you're also saying goodbye to a dump with a palace coming up next year. So, like, I hope they hit the right balance. I don't have a lot of confidence.
There's emotional.
I don't have a lot of confidence that they'll hit the right balance. I think the logo's cool. They have like a farewell logo with the outline of the building, which is a well-done logo. I'm a sucker for a good logo. But it's going to be – and I think they've done a nice job of pairing like the – and some of it's because you can't spend that much money, understandably, on postering the place with the new logo in small corners and stuff. And so it's got a dual feel to it,
yeah,
which I'm fine with. It's a building in transition that's about to be torn down. But the sentimentality for the place needs to have the right tone.
I mean, some people called my beloved Tiger Stadium a dump too, and I miss it every day. So, you know, now granted, that was a little bit more iconic of a venue than this place, but some incredible memories there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look at how much of your life you spent there. I mean, you should have some sentimentality for it. Welcome to Robbie Stanley on the YouTube chat. Chiming in, says that Joe is a Mike 1 savant. It's like watching Picasso paint.
Wow.
So, yes.
Get back to your vacation, Chief.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm guessing he's watching from the airport. I could be wrong, but that would be my guess. So I got to ask you. And Robbie can listen to this too, and he understands as a Tennessee fan. What is your hatred for Hendon Hooker? Why can't Hendon Hooker be a practice squad quarterback for the Tennessee Titans?
He didn't do anything. didn't do anything.
I thought when he got to play, I mean, he didn't look very good the other night except for a couple really good runs. But, you know, he had a heck of a throw in the game before that. They aren't giving any reps, man. You don't think he can be a decent scout team quarterback, especially if you're playing like a mobile QB,
well,
the way he can run?
My thing is that I want a scout team quarterback who has a chance to develop into a number two quarterback, and he doesn't.
Yeah, but that's – well, so who? So then who? Who out there?
I don't know. Go scout. Also this, go scout for your practice squad, which includes one guy. So they had five guys that they felt they needed to replace on their 53-man roster, right? How many guys did they feel they needed to replace on their practice squad roster? Guys who ranked behind those five guys. None initially, one now. Now, Borgonzi said it's different and guys like to stay with the team that brought them up and everything. You can bid. You can outbid to a degree, guys. I don't find them ambitious in this department. Just like in free agency when all of the guys they liked, not all of them, but most of them, just happened. Hey, our board lined up with the Jets and the Giants. Just happened to be lined up with the two coaches that we hired. I think that's unambitious scouting by the pro scouting department. And I think it's unambitious scouting. And I like Borgonzi, and I think I like what he's done. But I don't believe that there aren't players better than the guys that they had in training camp who didn't come close to making the 53 for them to develop. Go comb the league and find some. You found one?
Yeah, I mean, that's it's a fair point. I thought the Borgonzi answer was interesting yesterday in a presser that largely wasn't, but you know, I hadn't thought about that. I mean, I don't have any doubt that they're looking, right? There's probably some
value in continuity. I like that they're looking. When do they start
finding? Well, I would.
Give up on Mason Kinsey. You give up on Bryce Oliver, and you know, I mean, I like Beatty, you know, but some of these other guys really showed nothing in camp.
So you can't find
a guy who showed a little something more and pry him away?
I would accept Joe Milton to replace Hendon Hooker. How about that?
Yeah, where did
Milton
land?
Hey, look, I got a texter right here saying the same thing.
Did Milton land somewhere? I just wish these guys were un-UT attached so that we could get a real assessment from them and fans could say, like, I like this guy because of what he did there, not I automatically like him because he wore orange in college.
Well, there's a bunch of Titans fans who are Vandy fans who hate Tennessee players. So
there are not nearly as many Vandy fans as there are UT fans.
Yeah, right. I understand. But Hendon Hooker was a legitimate prospect. I mean, he
was.
Sure.
Was.
He threw 55 touchdowns.
You had him
touchdowns.
As 11th.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm wrong all the time.
Okay.
So are you, my friend. And on especially on quarterbacks or players coming into the draft. Yeah, so that was a legitimate discussion. Joe Milton right now, and look, there's some Cowboys fans who will tell you, Joe Milton should be our starter. He has the biggest arm in the NFL. He did play really well in the preseason. So I don't know. I was actually a little bit surprised that he was exposed to waivers. But, yeah, he's out there. I assume today we're probably going to see some movement on stuff like that on Will Levis with a practice squad.
Well, I'm surprised it's taken as long. If it doesn't happen today, he doesn't have a job.
That would be – I mean, I'm sorry, like – that would be, to me, shocking that no one would look at the talent and at least be like, sure, take a flyer in a practice squad. Right?
I agree. But a lot of these teams, I mean, the Titans aren't the only one that gets married to the guys who have been with them and know their system and all of that. I think Will Levis can easily come in and run a scout team and gives you some potential upside. That's why I'm anti-Hooker. I'm sure he could run the scout team fine. You got to find somebody, I think, who also could conceivably be your third quarterback. And if Hendon – look, I know you're not winning anything if your third quarterback plays, but I want somebody that gives you something more than Hendon Hooker's going to get.
I'm going to need to read this text for you. You need to listen every word. Y'all dragging fans over Lacken Restrepo saying we think he's Edelman. Wes Welker would be the better comparison. Undrafted, waived, cleared waivers, stuck around a couple more seasons before catching fire with the pass. He doesn't have to be as good as Welker to be a solid depth piece for us either. Look, guys, he's a fringe player. Okay, he's a fringe NFL player. He's a shuttle guy between a practice squad and a 53. This team has receiver talent, the likes of which you should never have to talk about Xavier Restrepo in any way on a Sunday. I don't understand the obsession. It's weird.
The Patriots were receiver desperate, and they had the all-time greatest quarterback to help make Wes Welker and Julian Edelman. Right? The Titans finally have receiving talent. They're five deep with guys who look legitimate. Now, I'm reluctant to anoint them because I need to see receivers prove themselves with this franchise based on what I've seen in my long history with this team. But if I'm a Titans fan, I would think to myself, it is so great that we don't need a hero like Xavier Restrepo to come in and save us. Because we have Carnell Tate and Wandale Robinson and Calvin Ridley and Alec Manor and Chim Dike. How great is it that we have five guys who are clearly better than Xavier Restrepo? And this GM that I have a good feeling about feels so good about those five that he didn't hesitate when he brought in five new guys to cut Xavier Restrepo. And he's got K.J. Osborne and Tyron Montgomery and Hank Beatty and Restrepo all on the practice squad. Some of those guys need time to develop. Some of them could pop up if we get hurt, and that's a nice insurance policy. But how are you more excited about this guy than the five?
There is a...
I need a psychologist to explain that to me.
Well, yeah, we need a name for this group, too. I mean, I know we talk about catching
Cam
strep
pants
or whatever,
and the Cam dudes and the Cam. Can we get a map of that? Can we put out a graphic so people could follow along with the show?
It might be confusing. It might be that meme from Always Sunny in Philadelphia with Charlie looking at the right. at the chalkboard with all the stuff going on. Right.
When Charlie puts out his system.
That's right.
That's classic, that system.
The X-Men? Is that too? That's
no, already, it's that's his, already, his, already, his dating system.
That's already trademarked. No, I'm talking about the X-Men. Xavier fans? No, is that too? Yeah. No. X-Men, X-Men and women?
Yeah, that's kind of taken
already. Yeah, it's kind of taken. All right, we'll work on it. All right, we come back.
Hey, I'm looking at myself on this YouTube, and I think I've lost a couple pounds.
That's great. We'll continue the discussion. Robbie and Rex show 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex show 1025 The Game. Paul Kuharski in for Robbie today. Robbie has weighed in on the YouTube chat. He has departed now, but he did weigh in on the Luke Evangelista trade. And I will read Robbie's take.
Please.
On the Luke Evangelista trade. But also, actually, there was another good comment on there by Jordan on the YouTube chat, who I agree with. He says, Robbie should have his credential pulled for his abhorrent contrarian Beatles take. And I think Robbie should have credentials for anything.
Well, Beatles pulled. Con, he is not allowed to go to. That's clear.
I mean, I think credentials to anything should be pulled for the awfulness of that take, you know?
He's just de-credentialed.
Yeah.
And anywhere he goes where there's a pass, it goes red.
Right, exactly. It's like, sorry.
Like, what's up? Oh, well, we heard about your Beatles
take. His Beatles take plays, yeah, you know, the Beatles are trash over and over again on a loop. But on the Evangelista trade, Robbie says, I was surprised by it. I'm going to quote him. Quote, I was surprised by it. I don't think it's a bad return for him, but he's also a good player in an age bracket where they don't have a lot of good players at the moment. Also makes me wonder if another move is coming, end quote. Which is, I think, a good point. You know, I think a first and a second back for him is good. They do have this big gap of they've got old guys and they got really young guys they're trying to figure out, and he's a guy who's at least, you know, productive at a certain level. Reliable to a certain level, had a bounce back year. So I think that's a really interesting thought. Like, is something else coming? Because, again, this is another signal to the old guys. Like, guys, we love you, but, like, this team is not competing. This team is probably not going to be a playoff team. Yeah, I don't know how – obviously, taking Evangelista off this team for picks is not a way to increase your chances this year of competing. So interesting thought there. Okay, Paul, you okay? Is that enough? Is that too much hockey for you?
Yeah, you're gonna. I want to know what Robbie thinks.
Meanwhile, like, I got stuff flying at me all over the place with the DMs, cams. Again,
oh, is this where you look for praise for your seat one?
No, I'm just telling. Management? I'm just telling you that.
Isn't that what he's looking for?
I think so. Yeah.
No,
I'm not giving it. Are you?
Robbie gave it to him on the YouTube chat, so he's good.
I'm just telling you that I have all these things from people about Cam's dad that, like,
It's enough for us to think there's a Cam dad problem.
It's a little too much to just ignore. And again, it looks like it. You know, there's obviously fake accounts, right? You know, that can look just like a real account, but I think it's not that. So. Yeah, I would. You know, the Titans, if they're going to worry about stuff that's not football related, maybe that would be
an area
something to look
actually
into,
worry about.
Because that's just, I mean, that's absurd if there's truth to this. So we haven't talked PK about the defense much. I still think that the best part of the Tennessee Titans should be the interior of the defensive line. And I think that if it's as good as it might be, as they hope it is, that is going to make some things that we saw in the preseason look better. And I'm not excusing any of the ridiculous communication errors in the back end, things like that, or some of the bad run fits or bad angles. I mean, I think there's some concern. But I do think that's an area where, you know, that opening game, you're going to see those guys push the line, and all of a sudden the edge guys and the linebackers and the secondary benefit from it. I mean, that's the idea, right?
Yes, but I do think, you know, of the things we've talked about in the preseason, the pass rush wasn't very good. In the games, which I've accepted the premise, like, hey, the joint practices 2 days before the games, players get up for it, there's more scheme, they're more important, and then there's a lull. Just kind of a natural lull in the games. I buy that. Even said, though, I wanted better execution in the games and didn't get it. Badgett, particularly. So it's the deepest position on the roster, the defensive line, and the twos got zero pressure on Badgett, who, by the way, was very, very content to stand in and let things develop. And even as things closed around him, got throws off just before anybody got to him. I mean, he looked fantastic.
He looks like a good QB, too.
Yes. And in the practices, now I didn't watch the defense very much. I watched a little bit of the defense against Chicago. But what came back to me about the defense was not, boy, these quarterbacks were under onslaught. And so I don't think that the pass rush – the preseason pass rush delivered. Now, I do think that's the switch-flipping position of this team, the most likely position to go from not doing a lot in the preseason to really producing something against the Jets week one. Agree? Like, if there's one position on this team that's going to go from not doing a lot to really producing on Sunday week one, it's the defensive line.
Yeah, like, they have depth, and that's great, and he likes to rotate guys, and that's great, but, like, those two guys, I still think, are going to probably end up playing more snaps than you intend just because other parts of the team, like to win games, like you need your best players on the field. And I think that those two guys, JFM's got to be fully healthy on that stuff, could be.
Get home.
Could be dynamic. And yeah,
get home and get create home double and teams on yourself that get other people
disruption,
home.
Disruption.
And Geno Smith stinks.
Timing.
I mean, he had a resurgence. But he came back to earth last year. Listen, this is far less than ideal for the Jets, who have gone back to a quarterback they gave up on, a rare circumstance that you're bringing a guy back in desperation, really. They have to irritate this guy, force him into mistakes, and win pass rush against Geno Smith. And they're built to do so. If they don't, they set themselves up for the potential to not come out of this game where they have to come out of this game. If they lose this game, the panic of that week is going to be big. You're going to come out of it saying, where are the wins on this schedule? And acknowledging that one of them was just wasted.
So we will find out with these corners and everything, if they can play better. And people, you included, you know, kind of hammered on Saleh with the, I like that error. I hear what he's saying. It's like, here's a basic exchange that we need to figure out. Okay, you just got burned for it in front of everybody. You got the embarrassment. So let's make sure that we understand.
I keep hearing how great Kevin Winston is. I'd like Kevin Winston to know the coverage going into the game instead of coming out of the game.
I agree. Like, there's a lot on those guys to like, okay, let's start playing. But my question is that young guys, what we should expect right away. I thought we did see something from Femi here and there. You see some of the
explosiveness. I've got a Drew Beatty film analysis of Femi coming up shortly after the show's over.
Okay, give us a quick preview.
He was impressed by what he did in this last game where there wasn't a lot to take.
I mean, there were a couple reps that I was like, okay, I understand that's a backup tackle, but you're still folding somebody up like an accordion.
No, he was good.
Falk. What's realistic to expect from, because I think, you know, Jermaine Johnson, J.M. Martin, those guys are going to play a lot, but Falk, Oladejo, and also Anthony Hill, do we still think that's weeks away, inevitable, but sometime in season that he becomes a regular?
I would hope. I mean, I think Hill's emergence has to come with Hill being really good. It's another one of these pairings. Hill being really good and Barton disappointing. If Barton plays well, I don't think they're going to be eager to pull him. Now, I don't expect Barton to magically solve Barton's issues.
There's some plays he just isn't quite going to make because he can't get there.
Yeah. And when you have a guy standing next to you that you know could get there, I mean, I'm on the side of take the rookie mistakes and let them grow as opposed to settle for the veteran limitations in exchange for the smarts. And the more they do that, the more it indicts to me Cedric Gray and Hill as not smart enough. And Cedric Gray seems pretty bright to me. I don't know Hill very well yet, and it's a lot of responsibility and everything, but, you know, that's one to monitor. I think Keldrick Falk, to me, is kind of an X-factor guy, like could add a dimension. You know, how much can he
they
do
need it,
how
man.
Soon?
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I'm curious how much it shows up that they are, I don't want to say one-dimensional, but of a similar dimension across that entire front in that bigness and strength is their thing and bendiness and speed is not their thing. Even like I've said repeatedly, like Jacob Martin is the wiggliest, but he's 270. So he's not burning the edge and threatening a tackle with that. So I think preparation week for the Titans for an offensive line is going to be challenging, but nobody's worrying about – I mean, they're worrying about their get-off and all of that. They're a very aggressive bunch, and this attack defense is – different and hard, but also that you know, even Harold Landry, better yet Javon Curse, who's an extreme example, there's nobody that fits that category.
All right, we come back, the Rex rant, unless PK steals it. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed, and sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
We don't have a disclaimer that a cranky old jack wagon's coming on the show every time you come on.
You can't stay away from shellfish, meat, and meat.
Weekend at the frat house.
Go goo goo gaga. Woo! Look at that little man running around. He's going to be a great pro.
If you want to ride gas, grass, or ass.
Was that all gas, no brakes, Robert?
Put a little brakes on your coaching, please.
I am not interested in him critiquing my work. Not at all.
There's no screaming. I know you think a rant has to be screaming.
All you do is you scream and you scream.
Drake May's probably better than Will Levis.
Oh, they better not take Levis.
Get out of here, Mayo boy.
I'm imagining PK eating a blueberry pie on the moon right now.
You think Tic Tac Titans has ever stolen any pies?
Woo! Some buttes in there here.
Who wasn't I interested in critiquing my work?
As we get the Rex rant going.
Was it Tic Tac?
It was Tic Tac.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm so glad that you brought up Tic Tac Titans because people are asking, was Tic Tac Titans, is he credentialed?
Somebody asked if he was credentialed. I said, the guy lives in like Columbus. That somebody out there thinks he might be credentialed is so frustratingly stupid.
Has he not? Didn't he like show up at some practice or something?
At the combine. He goes to the combine. He hides in the corner.
Does he get credentialed for that?
Yeah, by the league. Hides in the
corner. NFL respects him. Okay.
The big, loud talker. He hides in the corner like a mouse, and then he whispers a question to the coach. The coach is like, excuse me? Aren't you the loud, red-faced guy who screams online? Can you speak up a little bit so I can hear your question?
So he doesn't ask questions with he doesn't put his chest out and ask questions the same way?
I'm sorry, sir. My film expertise shows that.
Is he a big film guy? Like he's a big film breakdown. Dude,
you're the guy.
Don't pretend you don't know. You watch every second of his content, and you know it. Don't lie to me.
I watch nothing. I'm not lying to you.
I just see sometimes, like on Twitter, it'll be like, it'll just be like his face, like. And he's just like, I'm like, holy crap,
I did see Sal.
Like I worry about hypertension with me sometimes.
I saw a clip
of
Sal yesterday, and Sal from Jersey, I think, and he seemed a little downtrodden. I felt bad for Sal. Sal needs a win against the Jets. Bad.
I think I saw something like he has always been denied. He tries to get credentials and never
Sal?
Gets them, right?
I think Sal's in Jersey. I mean, all these people from out of state. I don't know. Titans should credential them.
It's new media.
They all live out of state.
It's new media. So today I want to, for my rant today, I guess we're kind of bringing back the 6 a.m. topic again. Let me make this very clear again, people. As we talk about this topic, I'm not interested in talking about the subject. I'm interested in talking about the team making decisions that are stupid and don't help a team win football games, okay? But I want to shout out a friend of ours who, you know, I had 3 years as the Tennessean columnist, and they were three amazing years.
It was only three?
It was only three.
God,
and I loved it.
It seemed a lot longer than that.
I loved it.
Hard to endure.
Yeah. I loved that job very much, and it was an incredible 3 years. I replaced David Clymer, the great late David Clymer.
I mean, usually you don't want to be the guy that follows the guy, and you did a hell of a job following the guy, I got to say.
Well, I appreciate that, but Gentry Estes has now been doing this job for 7 years, right? Yeah, for 7 years, and he's done a great job, and I got to shout out the column he wrote today because I think it hits the point. The point is not let's argue about this guy that people hate. I'm going to read the headline. Rejoice, fans. The Titans found the problem. It's a radio host. And it is the sarcasm drips off the piece just like the headline. And again, let me just read this from this. I think this nails exactly what we're talking about here, okay? Quote, what's being done is a few things, really, and none stand to benefit the Titans. And we got bullet points. One, they've guaranteed a massive uptick in audience and influence for the Stillman & Company program, making him a cult hero to any thinking Titans fans who prefer media that's willing to hold the Titans accountable and call things for what they are instead of how the Titans hope them to be. This will likely be a narrative nationally, which means, two, they've created an unnecessary and stupid distraction for the team at an inopportune time. Three, they've confirmed their status as the softest sports organization in this state, if not the entire NFL. And four, and they've warned everyone who covers the Titans that, quote, journalistic integrity is going to be defined by the team, not the journalists who don't work for them. That's a problem because it never works out well when an organization believes it has the authority in a free society to control what others say and think, end quote. It's a hell of a column. Shout out to Gentry. And I agree with every word there. I think you may have some quibbles. You're being a little soft on the Titans today, which, you know, you tend to do. I know. We're used to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just, again, that's the point. It is about the team and what you're doing, how you went through this decision-making process. Did you think about the ramifications? And what are you doing to win football games? Because you said it earlier, PK, and I agree with you. I think this boils it down. You either win football games and shut everything up, and that's what we talk about, or when you lose, you now make it this much worse for yourself when you do things like this.
I do think that they understood the ramifications.
Well, they understood them poorly.
And I think that they chose to endure the ramifications, which is their prerogative. Story will go away.
But what has been improved?
Their press conference experience on the 4 days that Jared shows up, which I don't think is, I don't think is worth the trade-off.
I mean, dude, I love that you have this line about performative. You're more performative than he is at press conferences. You like to get into antagonistic conversations.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying every time, but I'm just saying, like, it's more likely with you, and I understand you're there every day. But, like, the press conference thing here, it's a complete nothing, right? Tell me when in any press conference there was an objectionable thing that happened on his end. I mean, people are crying about the Cam thing. That's a joke.
The Cam thing is an absolute nothing burger. I'll say this about...
So hold on. So then the content is really the issue then, right? The commentary, the...
I think so.
Okay.
I think the, so again, this team bleeping
you
sucks.
You didn't change that.
And the Amy Adams.
Great. Thing. So you changed nothing except that I guarantee you more people found his stuff because of this.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
So now, yay! Good job, guys. It's ridiculous.
Just to speak to my performative thing, I had a conversation about I had a conversation about this recently about with Vrabel, particularly post game. And I don't know that I was consciously thinking this out, but this is why my Vrabel post games went the way that they did when the team was bad, is because Vrabel thought he could come in and say virtually nothing and defer to Monday watching film. And I was not content with him saying nothing. I thought there was an obligation for him to explain or react to what had gone wrong in a game. And the only path I found to getting him to do that was to, be somewhat antagonistic. Because when he got perturbed, he would then give us something. And I was determined to get something to not have a bland Monday story, Sunday night story that said, Vrabel's going to talk about it on Monday.
Yeah,
and
Coach
by Monday, Vrabel had calmed down and watched the film and could calmly talk through anything. And I wanted a reaction of a coach who was 10 minutes removed from a performance. Excuse me. Slipped into my own YouTube thing there.
So now I'm good God. I think Titans media needs to be completely banned altogether. I had a question for you. I'll save it for
you
the top of the hour.
You can gab yourself after
Robbie
that.
Robbie and Rexro. Like, oh, my God. Help us all. Robbie and Rexro, 102.5 The Game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.